I have prepared a feast for you tonight. And I'm willing to stuff each and every one of you. There's no special, so what I thought I'd do is sing my message tonight. There are people leaving. I was just kidding. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. First Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse number 18, says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." So many look at us and they think we're foolish, we're wasting our time, why? I mean, what are you really accomplishing? Does God really expect? Yes, he does. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God tonight. Lord, that we could be comforted, filled by it, and have a better understanding of who you are and what's important. God, you've given us so much. We're so grateful for not only what we have, but who we are. That we've become a part of the family of God and we've understand the priorities of life and what's important and what isn't. And we're grateful to be able to stand here and understand why it's so important. We ask your blessing, anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It said, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed." Foolishness to some, but power unto us. The greatest conflict that we have in this world is between pleasing God and pleasing men. There are many who have turned their back on God because they wanted to be accepted by man. So we have this great conflict. Do we please our God or do we please the people that we are around? And some have chosen the people that are around because they don't want to not fit in. Man always tries to alter God's word to please man's desire. So let's take a look at Galatians, the first chapter, very familiar scripture. Galatians 1, starting in verse number 6, Paul's saying to the church at Galatia, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel change the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, death, burial, and resurrection unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." This must be important. Don't change anything. Don't change the book. Don't change it in order to please somebody. Amen. "Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of God. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Glory to God. I preached a week ago Sunday on unfinished masterpieces, and how there is a museum of almost 40 unfinished sculptures of Michelangelo. And they have this museum where there's a sculpture of a foot or maybe just a hand, and it was never completed. And so really it's an indictment against him, starting something and never finishing it. And I said there are people who start this thing and then they never finish. God said he's able to finish what he started. The very next day, I drove through a Starbucks in an area that I don't normally go. And there was a woman who was waiting on me, who was one of those unfinished masterpieces. Didn't look the same as when she stood behind this pulpit and sang a special. Didn't want to even recognize my wife or I. And I pulled out of that place, my wife can testify, and I was so choked up, I began to weep because they were changed in order to persuade men rather than conform to God. The question isn't what is going to save us. There is only one saving message, one gospel: death, burial, resurrection, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And even if an angel preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. Even if there's supernatural that happens in here, let it be accursed if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. This isn't something we want to guess at. Our soul is at stake. There has to be some confirmation within the Word of God of what we believe. People can't believe one thing today and another thing tomorrow. There are consequences for vacillating from truth to something that's false. There is no room for being off just a little bit. There isn't anything that you could say you're almost saved or you're partly saved. Either you're saved or you're not saved. It's not once saved, always saved. It's I'm going to keep clapping my hands. I'm going to keep worshiping and living according to the book. You don't want a doctor coming in to operate on your eyeball with a chainsaw. That would not be good. You don't want a doctor taking you into brain surgery saying, well, let's just try something here. And you don't want a preacher saying, well, you know what, I think we'll just try something here. How many want to try it this way? Glory to God. The question is not the gospel. It is, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In other words, if preachers are saying, well, the people wanted, then they are no longer a servant of God. You've just taken yourself out of that position. This gospel is certified. What you have in your hands tonight is the Word of God. It saved us if we respond to it. It's been inspired and kept pure by God so that we could be saved by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The big battle on earth is between wants and needs. And sometimes it's hard to define the difference between a want and a need. We beg God for wants sometimes rather than needs sometimes. And God said that he would take care of all of our needs. He supplieth all our needs. But he did not say that he would supplieth all our wants. And there's this blurry line between needs and wants, and sometimes we keep asking God for the wants, and he's saying, no, it's not good for you. I'll give you what you need rather than what you want. I see parents in stores all the time with their little angels screaming, I want it, I want it. And you know what my theory is. Give it to them. Glory to God. Your kids are supposed to think that you hate them from time to time. I know that. It's in the book. Because you are supposed to deny their wants and give them their needs. Because that's how God does it. And I hope that I'm never in a place where I'm saying, I want it, I want it, I want it. And then he gives it to me. Because there have been times where I've begged him for my wants and he's given it to me and I find out that that wasn't the answer. Little Herbie, well, he wants ice cream, but mom knows that he needs nutrition. He wants to stay home from school, but she knows that he needs an education. Herbie wants liberty, but God knows that he needs discipline. Kids need a bath, no matter how loud they scream from time to time. I remember being in the Army years ago in basic training, and there was one particular guy, I don't think he ever bathed in his entire life. Well, we gave him a pair of fatigues to wear, but he just never took a shower until finally we couldn't stand it anymore. And it wasn't just a want, it was a need to take him into the shower. There are times when the stench gets bad enough that you're forced to issue some decrees. Glory to God. My Bible shows me that God saves people who don't want to be saved. You're looking at one. I never started looking for God. Please save me, God. Please save me, God. I knew there was some responsibility to live for God, and I didn't necessarily want that criteria in my life or that responsibility. And you're looking at a person who fought it. Most of us were not looking for God when we got saved, but God opened the door and presented himself to us, and then we had to respond. We were looking for what pleased us and not what would save us. Because if you go shopping for God, there's always a better deal down the road where we're pleasing people rather than pleasing God. And the reason we have such a move of God in our sanctuary is because we're not trying to please any. We're not altering the service in order to please people. We're altering the service in order to please God. And when God is pleased, well, then people get healed and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But God said, it pleased me to save your carcass by the foolishness of preaching. It pleased me to walk into a bar room and tell you what you needed rather than what you wanted. Sometimes God, because he happens to be God, will give you what you don't want because he knows what you do need. Glory to God. And that could be even trouble. My name is Jim, and I'm a wounded worshiper. Well, what's that all about? Well, I don't know exactly, but I'll find out by and by. You see, sometimes we got things in our lives that really fulfill a purpose. All things do work together for those who are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose. So it's easy to get confused over wants and needs. Someone here tonight may be screaming inside, I want, but God knows what you need. In Mark, the second chapter, they let down a cripple through the roof that they tore off. There's so much to be said about that story in the Bible. First of all, if you really want God, you might have to tear off a roof. It took brothers in order to carry him to a place where Jesus is. It takes somebody to say, hey, I know a place where you can get your healing. I know a place where you can get saved. Now, he wanted his legs to move because he was a paraplegic, but he needed life eternal. He wanted to be healed, but he needed to be forgiven. And sometimes God presents us with what we actually need rather than what we're asking for, and we're wondering, why didn't that happen? I wonder sometimes if God blessed some of us the way we want to be blessed, if we'd even come to church the next week. Jesus knows that want isn't as important as our needs are, yet Jesus healed him to validate the need that he met. So first of all, he took care of the need, which is forgive your sins. And then he took care of the want to validate that he had the power to forgive. And when there's a miracle that happens in this church, whether it's a healing or a financial blessing or something that was taken care of miraculous, it's a validation that God has the power to forgive your sins. It's more important to forgive the sins than to take care of the miraculous. But when the miraculous happens, God's saying, see, I can do that. I can wash away your sins as well. Perhaps you might want to take an inventory of what God has done in your life. I think sometimes we have to go back to those memorials of what God has done rather than what he hasn't done for us. Sometimes we put together the list of, well, I didn't get this and I didn't get that, but why don't you start making a list of what God has already done for you? Thanksgiving would be a good time to thank God for the things that he has. I was delivered. I was healed. I was blessed. I have peace. Hallelujah. I believe there are people that can't get victory if they don't get what they want from God. And so as a result, they shut down because I didn't get what I wanted. And God didn't ever say that he was going to give you everything you want. You know what, God? If it's not good for me, would you change my wants to something that's a need? Change me. Don't fulfill my every whim of what I have to have. But many times God will give us what we need and hold back what we want. We want happiness. He wants to give us holiness. We want success. He wants to develop a dependence upon him, not because we have much. We want peace, and he says, you need adversity in order to keep you in the church. We want acceptance. Jesus wants his approval on our life. We want popularity. He wants us to enjoy the fellowship that we have with the minority of church and him especially. We want the way all mapped out for us. Tell me what's going to happen a year from now. And he wants you to take one more step in faith, and then I'll reveal it. Hallelujah. In Acts, the third chapter, a man crippled from his mother's womb lay daily at the gate beautiful. You know the story. He wanted some financial help. Wonder how many years he laid there, got just a little bit, took care of his daily needs. And he saw Peter and John come and looked at them thinking, wow, these guys probably could get their spiritual number one. And I'm wondering how much they'll put in my little situation. We don't have what we want, but God has what we need. Silver and gold have I none, but we do have what you need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I think sometimes we get a little down because we didn't get what we want. And God said, you know what? I've supplied your every need and beyond. Church, we need to give this world what they need and not what they want. It's so many times easier for us when we're sitting with somebody at work to tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. We try to keep a balance of, oh, I don't want to be separated. I don't want to look strange. I don't want to act like, you know, I'm out of this world. But they really need something from out of this world and somebody who has truth to tell them. Glory to God. They want our validation on their no-name baptism. They want it. They want our validation on, accept the Lord as your Savior. They want our validation on, well, every once in a while you should go to church. But you know what? We can't give them their validation because God wouldn't give it to us. And they need what we have. They need to go through some of the same situations as we've gone through. Somebody's got to feel bad before they're going to feel good. We're looking for that silver bullet, like Brother Little says. There is no silver bullet. We have to somehow make them realize that they have a need. And in this world, well, there are just so many people that just don't have any needs anymore. The government will take care of you. Yeah. And that's why huge crowds gather in church buildings to hear preachers preach to them about what they want. Pour a little oil in your driveway and a Cadillac will appear. You know, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, then you're not preaching out of this book. Just tell me I'm all right, you're all right, everything's good, you know. And I'll tell you what, you can gather crowds, but there's not going to be a change. And they will not be God pleasers, they will be men pleasers. Paul said in Galatians 1 and 9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In Acts, the 9th chapter, Saul of Tarsus, later Paul, hated the church. He made it public that he hated this way. He wanted to kill everybody who espouses Jesus' name doctrine. He didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't believe in the disciples. He didn't believe the gospel. Know anybody like that? Paul thought, what they believe was an insult to Jehovah. And he was justified in saying, those people are radical. There's something wrong with them. Saul was enraged against the church. Now listen, God can save a man that didn't want truth or salvation. And that's what he did with Paul. He saved him on his way to destroy people within the church because he saw his need rather than what his want was, even though he thought in his own mind his want was really justified. He wasn't looking for Jesus. He didn't want the gospel. Saul wasn't seeking God, but God was seeking him. And some of us are sitting here tonight. We didn't go looking for God, but God saw a need and perhaps even presented us with a problem that couldn't be taken care of by our sufficiency. And so he presented us in adversary and in a problem. And now all of a sudden we see needs more important than wants are. There are people like me that come into our service not intending to find God, and the last thing on their agenda is to come to an altar, but God is in the house, and if it please God, well, before the lights are out, they're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. I'll just come one time. That's what I thought in my mind. I'll just come one time. I wonder how many people I've baptized in Jesus' name who just said, I'll come just one time. And then they found that they had a need. See, you first have to realize you have a need. Sometimes you got to get people unsaved in order you get them saved because they don't see the need. But it's in the book. Hallelujah. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? We all need to get to that place. No one can get saved without those five words being written in you. But when it pleased God. One day it pleased God to touch me. It pleased God to reveal himself to me. It pleased God to allow me to repent. It pleased God to allow me to respond to Jesus' name baptism. It pleased God to fill me with the Spirit and to speak in other tongues. It pleased God to heal you and to comfort you and to provide for you. It pleased God. It's foolishness to the rest of the world, but it pleased God to save us by the gospel and demonstrate how real He is in our lives. And if it hadn't pleased God, well, then we couldn't have gotten saved. We'd still be doing the same old stuff that we've always been doing, not satisfied. It is the pleasure of God that brings us out of the world and into the church. We are all trophies of grace. We are memorials of God's mercy, each and every one of us. And as we walk down the streets of this world, it pleases God to look at us. It pleases God to see that we're living different than ever. Everybody else, it pleases God. I want to be known as someone who pleases God, not fits in with everybody else. Oh, I've got 1,000 people on Facebook. Who cares? Do you have a God that's clapping? Do you have a God that's saying, that's my child? Hallelujah. Instead of posting pictures of hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So it's God. I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to get saved. But it was God that was working within me, within you, that changed my attitude towards Him and my desires and my appetites. Now all of a sudden have changed to do the things that please Him versus pleasing the rest of my family. I know I've said this before, but when we came into the church, we presented this information to my mother, my father, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law. Well, they would have nothing to do with us or my kids. They were babies at the time for almost 3 years. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas, no calls, no communication. We had a key to their house. They asked for that back, and they said, we don't want anything to do with you. Now, God, what's all that about? But you know what? I wanted to please God more than I wanted to please my parents or my in-laws. And I wonder, had God not forced us to take a position such as this, would we have seen the value of it? Would we have stayed in the church? Sometimes it's those stands that we have to take that allow us to, I'm staying in the church. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. And God's saying, I'll show you what you need. You need to take a stand with your family. And later, I baptized both my mother and my father. And now my mother-in-law is open to this and has been at the dedication and several services. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know one thing. Compromise is not going to get other people saved in my family. Hallelujah. God knows our need is much more important than our want. And when it pleased God, He touched us to receive what we didn't want, but what we needed. I had no thought of ever joining a radical church or being baptized in Jesus' name or speaking in tongues like the rest of those goofballs. But I needed it. I needed it. And there are some things, like all the success that I wanted to have in my life financially, that I never got. And God's saying, that's good. Because had you had that kind of success, perhaps you'd never be living. You see, God sees what's important in each and every one of our lives. And we ought to thank him for where we're at tonight, for what he has already done for us, where he's taking us, and whether it falls in our purview of wants or not, doesn't matter. I lay myself down for you. There's certain cultures, especially in the Far East, if a man saves your life, then you're obligated to save that person's life or at least be a servant. I kind of like that culture because there was a man who laid down his life and saved my life, and therefore, for the rest of my life, I need to lay down my life for him. I need to be his servant. Hallelujah. What is it that pleases you, God? Happy Thanksgiving. Would you stand with me? Amen. Glory to God. See, it's a short service. You still have time to stuff your bird. Only turkeys aren't thankful. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I love him too much to turn back now. Amen. Nothing's going to persuade me to stop living for God. Even an angel, let him be accursed. This thing is real. Amen. This altar's open. Would you come?